Paragraphs 1 through 18 of Treatise on Christ and Antichrist by Hippolytus of Rome. This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. Treatise on Christ and Antichrist by Hippolytus of Rome, translated by Alexander Roberts and James Donaldson. As it was your desire, my beloved brother Theophilus, to be thoroughly informed on those topics which I put summarily before you, I have thought it right to set these matters of inquiry clearly forth to your view, drawing largely from the Holy Scriptures themselves as from a holy fountain, in order that you may not only have the pleasure of hearing them on the testimony of men, but may also be able, by surveying them in the light of divine authority, to glorify God in all. For this will be as a sure supply furnished you by us for your journey in this present life, so that by ready argument applying things ill understood and apprehended by most, you may sow them in the ground of your heart, as in a rich and clean soil. By these, too, you will be able to silence those who oppose and gainsay the word of salvation. Only see that you do not give these things over to unbelieving and blasphemous tongues, for that is no common danger, but impart them to pious and faithful men, who desire to live holily and righteously with fear. For it is not to no purpose that the blessed apostle exhorts Timothy and says, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. And again, thou, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me in many exhortations, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. If, then, the blessed apostle delivered these things with a pious caution, which could be easily known by all, as he perceived in the Spirit that all men have not faith, how much greater will be our danger if rashly and without thought we commit the revelations of God to profane and unworthy men? For as the blessed prophets were made, so to speak, eyes for us, they foresaw through faith the mysteries of the word, and became ministers of these things also to succeeding generations, not only reporting the past, but also announcing the present and the future, so that the prophet might not appear to be one only for the time being, but might also predict the future for all generations, and so be reckoned a true prophet. For these fathers were furnished with the Spirit, and largely honored by the Word Himself. And just as it is with instruments of music, so had they the Word always, like the plectrum, in union with them, and when moved by Him the prophets announced what God willed. For they spake not of their own power, let there be no mistake as to that. Neither did they declare what pleased themselves. But first of all, they were endowed with wisdom by the word, and then again were rightly instructed in the future by means of visions. And then, when thus themselves fully convinced, they spake those things which were revealed by God to them alone, and concealed from all others. For with what reason should the prophet be called a prophet, unless he in spirit foresaw the future? For if the prophet spake of any chance event, he would not be a prophet, then, in speaking of things which were under the eye of all. But one who sets forth in detail things yet to be was rightly judged a prophet. Wherefore prophets were, with good reason, called from the very first seers. And hence we too, who are rightly instructed in what was declared aforetime by them, speak not of our own capacity. For we do not attempt to make any change, one way or another, among ourselves, in the words that were spoken of old by them, but we make the Scriptures, in which these are written, public, and read them to those who can believe rightly, for that is a common benefit for both parties, for him who speaks, in holding in memory and setting forth correctly things uttered of old, and for him who hears, in giving attention to the things spoken. Since then, in this there is a work assigned to both parties together, namely, to him who speaks, that he speak forth faithfully without regard to risk, and to him who hears, that he hear and receive in faith that which is spoken. I beseech you to strive together with me.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?